Do you feel sorry for a person with a non-Christian marriage partner? Well, don't. Think of the opportunity that person has. Here is a mission field built right into the home. What recourse is there for a Christian who is married to a non-Christian? There seems to be only two alternatives: stay in the marriage or terminate the marriage. Now, which is the biblical alternative? I will answer the question with these observations. A Christian who is married to a non-Christian should first drop any thought of leaving. The Bible says, if a brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Now, how could God say it any more clearly than that? The Christian is not to initiate divorce proceedings. To do so is to violate the clear statement of Holy Scripture. Second, overcome any sense of guilt. It would be easy to condemn yourself with the accusation, I married outside the will of God, I must be living in sin. Not so. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And how can that be? Well, again, the Bible answers, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you sinned in your marriage, confess it to God, receive His forgiveness, and then move on from there. Third, do not put God between you and your mate. It is so easy to neglect your mate out of a misplaced sense of devotion to God. You can make him or her feel that somehow your commitment to Christ makes you less concerned about your marriage and your home. Church can become a point of argument between you. You can feel resentment toward your mate for not being a Christian, or even assume the responsibility for your mate's unbelief. And all such things are a problem to you and a hindrance to your mate's coming to Christ. Your commitment to Christ should strengthen your love to your mate, and it should increase your resolve to bring him or her to faith. Fourth, find delight in sanctifying your mate by your Christian influence. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14 reads, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Now that does not mean that you can trust Christ as proxy for your mate. Not at all. It does mean that your faithfulness to Christ will be a sanctifying influence on your non-Christian partner. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? You see, the greatest joy in your life would be to lead your married partner to a personal faith in Christ. And you can do it by the sanctifying influence of your relationship to Christ, which you will have in that marriage. Fifth, be the best partner you can be. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 said God made the woman to be a helpmeet to the man. Now that means she is to be his helper, companion, and partner who completes him. So here is a Christian wife who has a non-Christian husband. How is she to be the helpful companion God has assigned her to be? Well, let her be godly in action and attitude. Let her be loving in her relationships. Let her be faithful to her commitments. Let her be affectionate in her dealings. Let her be a willing sexual partner. Let her cooperate with him in all activities except those specifically forbidden of God. In other words, she shares her life like a loving and faithful wife should. She is not less of a wife because she is a Christian. She is more of a wife, a better wife because of Christ. She ministers to her husband as an act of loving obedience to her Lord. And the marriage in which the Christian is involved should be far better than the marriage of two non-Christians. The Christian partner can make it so. Seventh, set your goal in life to lead your mate to Christ. Consider this reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now consider the principle set forth in that passage. First, do not try to talk your mate to faith. A verbal witness is fine if it's given in love and with wisdom, but continual talk on any subject can become like water torture, an unceasing drip, drip, drip. And it is possible that your witness can be a cause of friction if you press beyond measure. So take care. Ask God to give you wisdom at this point. Second, live a testimony. Have you heard the saying, "What you do speak so loud, I cannot hear a word you say"? Well, if your life is not an example, your words will be useless and hypocritical. So show by your conduct that Jesus makes a difference in your life. Third, respect your mate. Non-Christians are of such value to God that He gave Jesus to die for them, and that includes your unsaved partner. So concentrate on his or her good qualities. Do not assume any spirit of spiritual superiority. Look on your mate with the same respect and concern as God does, and your respect will show through your attitudes and actions, and the strength of your witness will be increased. Fourth, use both words and works to lead your mate to Christ. Make his or her life a blessing and relate your actions to your faith. If the unsaved husband compliments his Christian wife, she can say, "I do it because I love you, and I want to be the best Christian wife I can be to you." Fifth, pray for your mate that God would bless him or her. Ask God to help you to make your mate's life a joy. Meet the needs of your partner, even anticipating them and moving to meet them before they arise. Ask God to show you how to love him or her more each day, and to have a sanctifying influence in the home. Sixth, do not let church activities come between you and your mate. Your supreme loyalty is to Christ, not to the church, and He has assigned you a place in the home where you serve Him by being a faithful helper to your partner in marriage. You can turn your mate away from Christ by making church activities a point of argument or tension. Seventh, use your best efforts and wait patiently upon God. Faith is a choice, just as unbelief is a choice, and you cannot choose for another. A good Christian witness is sharing the message of Jesus under the guiding of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Now, your mate is responsible for belief or unbelief. So pray and speak and live, so that God can use you as His agent to bring your partner to faith. Do you feel sorry for a Christian with a non-Christian mate? Don't. Think of the opportunity that person has. Here is a mission field right in the home. And so pray. Father, give us grace to speak and to act so as to bring our loved ones to faith for Jesus' sake. Amen.